our first reading today, we hear about Christ going into the desert for 40 days. And during those 40 days, he was fasting and he was doing penance. And so our 40-day journey of Lent is modeled after that, after the example of Christ. But the question I'd like to address today is, why do penance at all? You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, I'm not going to give anything up this year for Lent. I'm going to do more good things, but I don't see the point of giving anything up at all. And it's certainly good to do more works of charity and more works of mercy, but that kind of misses the point of what penance is. Or sometimes I'll hear people say that it feels childish to give up chocolate for Lent. Like when I was a kid, I would give up chocolate, but you know, I really don't see the point in giving anything up now. So what I want to address today is, what is the real purpose of penance? But before we get there, first, in the gospel, we hear that Christ himself was doing penance. He was fasting. And so if he's our model of behavior, it probably makes sense that we should follow his example. And he also commands us to do fasting. You know, he says at one point that his followers will not fast while the bridegroom is here, but when the bridegroom leaves, then they will fast. And so he does command his followers to fast. And if we look at the example of the great saints throughout history and the great spiritual writers, you know, the saints did incredible acts of penance. And the spiritual writers again and again and again encourage us to do penance. So it is an important part of the spiritual life. After Vatican II, the number of days that we do penance as a requirement were reduced. And I think a lot of people just stopped doing penance in general. But that was never the intent of the church. The church wanted to reduce the number of mandatory penance days so that we would do penance voluntarily, and because there's more merit in it. So that was their purpose, but I think what happened is everyone just strove for the bare minimum, and people generally stopped doing penance. But that was never the intent of the church in reducing the number of mandatory penance days. So why do penance? Well, first, I think we have to realize that in order to get into heaven, nothing that's unclean or impure in any way can enter into the presence of God. And so it's important for us not only to not sin or to receive forgiveness for any sins that we've committed, but it's also important that we don't have any attachment to sin. We can't even desire sin in order to enter into the glory of heaven. So we have to be freed and break all of the attachments to any form of sin in order to enter into the glory of heaven. Which means that we have to have complete and total self-mastery. And that's not easy. I think a lot of times people set the bar very low for themselves and say, well, I think I'm in good shape if I haven't killed anyone. I don't think I've killed anyone. And if I haven't committed any of the sexual sins, I think I'm good. You know, that's kind of the bar that they set for themselves. But the bar we should be setting is perfection, complete detachment from sin. And sometimes people will think, well, I don't have any sin, or I don't have any attachment to sin. So I'm going to start with a brief examination of conscience, and it's not a complete one. But just to get us thinking about some things that might be attachments to sin that we need to be purified from. So first question, when we see the faults of others, or we see someone doing something that's wrong, do we gossip about them? Have we ever told somebody else about someone's faults? Or do we judge them and form an opinion of them based upon what we see them doing? Or do we instantly pray for them and say, this person needs some help? If we judge them or if we gossip about them, that means we have an attachment to sin. And we have to be purified of that attachment to enter the glory of heaven. If someone offends us, let's say someone is talking about us behind our back. They're spreading lies about us, or family members that in the past have done things to us, or friends who have done things to us. Have we harbored resentment for those actions? Or do we go passive aggressive? Or do we get angry about those things? If so, we have an attachment to sin. Our response should be to instantly and completely forgive them. And if we're not doing that in every case, then we have an attachment to sin. That means that we love ourselves and our own ego more than we love them. Do we spend more time watching television or more time in prayer? If we spend more time watching television or on the internet or watching YouTube or playing video games or whatever the case may be, that means we love those things more than we love God. That's an attachment to sin. And we need to break those attachments. If we see someone attractive of the opposite sex, do we look twice? Do we do a double take? Or do we think thoughts about them? Or did that instantly pass through our mind? If we are doing a double take, that means we have an attachment to sin. Do we spend more money more freely and more willingly upon ourselves or upon charity? If we spend more money or spend money more freely upon ourselves, that means we have an attachment to sin. We love ourselves more than we love others. Or are we envious of the possessions of others? Or when we watch television, are we constantly desiring things that we really don't need, but we want? If so, we have an attachment to the things of this world. Are we concerned about what other people think of us? Does that matter to us? Or are we constantly trying to present a certain image so people think about us a certain way? That's an attachment to sin. What we are in the eyes of God is what we are and nothing more. So these are just a few examples. But if we go through and do a thorough examination of conscience, I guarantee you every single one of us can find things, whether they're sinful or just worldly things, that we're attached to. And in order to enter into the glory of heaven, we have to break those attachments to sin. And that's what penance is designed to do. Certainly we can break those attachments, first of all, by recognizing what those attachments are and by bringing them to the sacrament of confession. But penance is designed to detach us from the things of this world and to build self-discipline and willpower so that we can resist those sins. Because all of us have these attachments that we very easily fall into. And penance will build willpower so we can resist those. A few examples of penance. If we're attached to food, or even if we say we're not attached to food, well, prove it. Fast 3 times a week, every week of Lent. And that'll break our attachment to sin. If we have an attachment to sin through gluttony, or if we're just overly attached to food, fast. Are we attached to TV? Give it up for Lent. Or even if we say we're not attached to television, prove it. Give up television for Lent. And that'll show whether we're really attached to television or not. If we say we're not attached to shopping or jewelry or things like that, give it up for Lent. Don't do any unnecessary shopping for all of Lent. If we say we're not attached to drinks, give everything up but water. Prove it. We don't need those attachments. If we say we're not attached to money, prove it. Give 25% of your income this Lent to charity. Or if you're wealthy, give 75%. Prove that you're not attached to money. If we're not attached to our own comfort, turn the thermostat down to 60. Prove it. Do that for Lent. You know, there's a lot of things that we probably aren't aware of that we're attached to. And penance is very effective in breaking those attachments. Either directly, you know, if it's like gluttony, then fasting directly breaks us away from attachment to food, or indirectly. You know, fasting is one of the best forms of penance because when we're constantly hungry and telling ourselves no, it builds an incredible amount of willpower and self-discipline so that when temptations to sin come or there's other attachments to things of this world, we can more easily resist those. It builds willpower and self-discipline. And that's why Christ wants us to do penance. That's why he commanded it. That's why the church encourages us to do penance. And that's why every spiritual writer practically that you'll read throughout Christian history is constantly encouraging us to do penance, to build self-discipline. No one gets to the promised land without going through the desert first. And so this Lent is a time where we follow Christ into the desert, we build self-discipline, and we do penance so that we can resist sin and so that we can break attachments to things of this world, sometimes attachments that are there that we might not even be aware of. And so it's easy for us to say we don't have any attachments to sin, but it's a lot harder to actually do penance and to demonstrate that and to build willpower. And so this Lent, I encourage all of us to follow Christ into the desert for 40 days and to see the benefit of penance.